Mark Keppler, what are you seeing in terms of the way people are buying books, and how do you deal with the fact that at one time bestsellers were important for your sales, and now they can't be because anybody could go and buy them at half price?
As we've been describing, the situation has changed, and the selling of books, backlist titles, the classics that booksellers keep, has all but gone away. And a lot of focus that we have on selling books is selecting titles that our booksellers have read, like the types of authors, and really presenting them, merchandising them, almost curating books for our community. We don't have one copy of everything any longer as we once did, as Annie described Cody once did. It's not that kind of a business anymore. The turnaround on inventory must be a lot quicker. We have to be on our toes more, and providing books really means choosing amongst the thousands that are published those that we think are of most interest to ourselves and to our community, and making them the focus of what we're doing, and responding then to what our customers tell us they want through their purchasing or otherwise.
Let's move on to the area of online sales. In particular, a comment made about tax evasion. If you're selling a book online, Bill or Clark, you have to pay California tax.
We're required to collect California sales tax on any sale to a California customer. Yeah.
And Amazon doesn't.
Amazon does not. Amazon is legally required to do it, in my opinion, but the Board of Equalization has not enforced the law against them. In fact, Andy and I have both been involved in this for probably over a decade, trying to get them to show some spine and to force Amazon to collect the tax. There have been several bills in the legislature that have been introduced to beef up the enforcement and to really force the Board of Equalization to do that. Last time it was vetoed by Governor Schwarzenegger. I don't know what the status of the bill is now. But it's an enormous unfair advantage that Amazon has, and they just are thumbing their nose at the public over this. You lose 9% on every sale. The state loses that. It affects local governments, affects the state budget. We're talking about billions of dollars a year nationally. Amazon would probably make money if they collected the tax just on the float each month. But they won't do it because it gives them a 9% sales advantage over local merchants. And they're very upfront about that, about the fact that that's what they want and that's what they want to keep.
In terms of what they actually charge for a book, which is $3 or $4 less than list, do you guys match that, or do you just kind of give up on those?
I don't know. I can't speak for anybody else. We don't try to discount because, frankly, we can't afford it. The only way that a bookseller can discount a book is if they're getting some sort of a sweetheart deal from the publisher, which we're not getting, and they probably are, or if they're trying to sell below cost in order to gain market share. This usually requires a huge amount of financial funding in order for them to do that kind of war of attrition over a long period of time. And again, a small bookseller can't match that. That's the kind of competition we have to live with, the fact that they might have a lower list price. But throwing an extra 9% on top of that really is the straw that breaks the back.
And if I may, that really is the challenge that independent booksellers and all independent businesses face with an Amazon and big boxes, is the pricing structure, the way they market and discount books and other products as loss leaders to sell tires or something else that is their profit margin, puts us as booksellers at a competitive disadvantage. We deal with consumers who are thinking they're saving a dollar or two on this transaction, and then because sales tax isn't collected, they end up paying a tax somewhere later on as a resident to a community for repairing their streets or whatever, you know, school bonds are necessary. Locally owned independent businesses are in the community and are keeping dollars local and are helping our communities in ways that are less visible than saving a few bucks on a single transaction.
What about the idea that more people read because the prices are cheaper? Do you think that's a load of...
Yeah, it is a load of whatever it is you're going to say. People read if they have access to quality books, and if they know about the books and the books are properly displayed and presented and they have word of mouth and an idea that they're going to read more just because someone cuts a dollar off the price, I think is totally unproven.
Let's move on to the rise of Kindle and the electronic book. How does that affect each of you, specifically Clark Keppler at Keppler's Book Passage, and also Andy Ross as a literary agent?
Right now, the talk in publishing is only about e-books. And as you know, in the music business, the entire business shifted to downloadable products very quickly. This may not happen with books. A lot of people, everybody agrees it's better to read a book on paper than an ebook. But they're selling them much cheaper now. Of course, publishers don't have the manufacturing costs, they don't have warehousing costs, the ebooks are non-returnable, so it's a very desirable situation for publishers. Now, the one thing they've been concerned about, and you've probably read about this in the newspaper, is again the virtual monopoly that Amazon.com has on downloadable ebooks. Amazon has very artfully created the Kindle and the Kindle format for ebooks, which can only be read on the Kindle, which reinforces their monopoly position. Publishers are very unhappy about this. They see Amazon as the enemy. Amazon has been doing loss leaders and selling them for $9.95, and they've been undercutting the costs of regular books. But also, and this is very interesting, what publishers see is they think that Amazon is attempting to, in the mind of the consuming public, to devalue the value of a book. And ultimately, if they're selling these books for $9.95, which, by the way, is significantly below their own cost, they're paying approximately $12.50 for a book that retails for $25. $12.50, and they're selling it for $9.95. And the reason for this is they want to get in the public's mind that the value of a book is $9.95, and they will go back to the publisher with their market position and say, okay, we want to pay $5 for a book. Publishing will not exist for $5. Writers won't write for the very small royalty they'd be getting on that. It's just economically, it doesn't work at all. And that's why the publishers flew into the arms of Apple, not exactly Mahatma Gandhi, but it was not Amazon. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And they, behind the back of Amazon, they worked out a new pricing system, which essentially allows the publishers to set the price and give it more control. Amazon was very unhappy and actually banned some of their books of some of the publishers. They removed the buy button in order to put pressure on the publishers not to adopt the new Apple model.
How does all of that affect you as traditional independent bookstores?
I think that it's affected us more in the anticipation than it has in the reality. The sale of electronic books has gone up as a percentage, and there's no question about the fact that all the buzz in the publishing business is over it. However, the electronic books still remain a very small portion of all books that are sold. But everybody in the business realizes that sooner or later electronic books will be a more significant level, and they'll reach a level of people being comfortable with them. I think that we as booksellers are already beginning to come up with ways in which we can sell electronic books too. One of the things Andy mentioned about the Amazon with a very closed format on the Kindle, I think the Kindle's sort of like a Betamax, and it's eventually going to find itself technologically obsolete because other players in the business, including Apple and Google and a few others, are going towards an open format for books that can be downloaded from a number of sources, including independent stores, including on our website or in our store. We can, within a month or so, we'll be selling electronic books, and they can be read on almost any kind of a reader other than a Kindle. So I think that's going to be inevitably a significant part of the business. However, I don't think it'll completely replace printed books. In fact, I don't even think it'll be a majority of the books will be electronic. I think people will realize that there is something to the feel of a book, the holding the book, touching the book, particularly with certain kinds of books, with children's books, art books, books with illustrations. You just can't replicate that very easily in an electronic format.
Clark Kepler, are you selling electronic books? How are you?
We are selling them. We're selling them online through our website, and we actually have some electronic gift books, gift cards in the store. They are not selling in large numbers by any means at this point, and we do believe that as the changes that we've heard described here occur, that we will have an ability to sell more online. It's really how a consumer wants to get their ebook essentially it's a download experience. That the possibilities of a bookstore also being a place where somebody can come in and browse, touch a book, find one they like, and actually download it onto their device at that point. Currently, that's a problem for us as booksellers. There's no reason in my mind that technology can't allow through GPS technology that download to occur and the bookseller to be credited for that sale. Those are all, sort of on the distant event horizon, and we in Silicon Valley especially are experiencing a lot of consumer behavior changes. I feel like Kepler's experiences, the internet, 10, 15 years ago before many other booksellers around the country, and we're experiencing the challenge of e-books sooner than I think Bill's experiences at this point, and certainly around the country.
Let me just add one thing. Google, which is rapidly becoming a major player in this field in terms of electronic books, and wants to work with independent stores, and has been very, very fair in their dealings with us. They feel that we're going to reach a point where people may be buying a paper edition of a book, the electronic book edition, or a combination of the two. That there's a market for someone getting both versions of it so they can read it sometimes, look at it on their device at other times, and there's all kinds of different electronic combinations.
So now here we are. It's 2010. 5 years from now, Clark Kepler, what changes do you see happening, and do you see your store seriously prospering in 5 years?
I think there's a very good chance that we will be. I don't believe that it is inevitable. We need to be able to reshape ourselves in a way in which we are both doing traditional bookselling well, having books that people coming in want, and also being involved and reaching out. Our business now is about getting out of the bookshop a lot and going into the community. I think ebook is going to be a substantial factor in that. 5 years from now, if 20% of our sales are not from ebook, I don't know what we'll be doing in business. We don't need to be as large as bookstores once were, the great bookstores, Cody's Books, all those sizes. We don't have the inventory to support all those shelves any longer, and it's going to look different from what it looks like today.
Do you think that the public ownership of Kepler's has made it easier or harder compared to the way it was, say, 10 years ago?
Conditions are much more difficult today than they were 10 years ago. The ownership at Kepler's now, with many people involved that came aboard and really brought us to the level where we are. So certainly the involvement in the community, the getting past just being in a bookstore and waiting for customers, that came from people coming into the business with a vision that took our programs and brought them to another level of effectiveness and outreach, getting into schools. That's something that I didn't have within me to do on my own.
And Bill Petrocelli, 5 years from now?
I definitely think the bookstore will be there. Hopefully it'll be thriving. I think that the changes I see are, first of all, I think we'll be probably more local in terms of the inventory that we carry. I really do believe that the Bay Area community has a tremendous number of authors who don't get published nearly as much as they should, and that part of our job will be to nurture them in one way or another, have them represented in the store and in our major mix of titles. I think we'll be more international in the sense, as Clark mentioned, that we'll be selling more electronic books through our website. I think we'll probably be more community-oriented in the sense that we will have more outreach, more events outside of the store, more community involvement through classes and conferences.
You did open a small satellite store in
yes.
San Francisco.
Yes, at the Ferry Building.
And how's that running?
That's doing actually very well. It's quite different than our Corte Madera store. Our Corte Madera store is sort of a destination store. You go there because you know you're going there. The San Francisco store, there's 5,000 people that walk past there every day through the wonderful Ferry Building with all of its food vendors. We're delighted to be there. It's a small store, but I love it.